And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven as a bride, or prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. I said, we're finishing a three-year cycle. We will not start this over again. They will start it over again with the little ones. The teens and us will be doing teaching other things, but we'll be finishing up today. And again, it's about Revelation 21 and 22. And this city is where we will live. If you're saved, this is where you're going to live. It's a real place, real materials. And we're going to see the Lord face to face. I don't know about you, but I look forward to that. Amen? And you find that mankind started out in paradise, and mankind ends up where? In paradise, if you're saved. And so that's it. It says, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. You ever have anticipation for a vacation and you're going and you had never seen it, but you've done some research on it and you looked at it when AJ and Sheila were taking us to this all expense paid trip to Cancun, you know, and that's nice. But guess what? A hotel with swimming pools and its own private places to eat and a big long beach. That's not something exclusive. But you know what we also got to do? We went to the Mayan ruins, and I got to see the Mayan temple and got to see the Mayan pyramid and something. And you look at that and you think about the background of it and the history of that place, because I'm a history buff, okay? I'm a keeper of odd knowledge. I'm a kook, but I'm a history buff, and I have certain things that come into my mind all the time, especially if Nancy's around and a tune is played, okay? But it's just one of those things. And so I looked at that and researched a little before we went because I was anticipating certain things. Are you anticipating heaven? Do you ever thought of what it's going to be like, New Jerusalem, for us? This morning we're going to be looking at certain things about it, but I know this. No more sorrow, no more tears, no more dying, no more separation. No night there. Perfect understanding. Boy, 51 years, I'm looking forward when I have perfect understanding with my wife. Do you know that? I like it. You know, I can't help you know think this because I know God's a male. Do you know how I know? He tells you exactly what he wants you to know. Now, am I getting in trouble with you? Okay, we're trying, okay, because my wife tells me so many times, she says, if you love me, you'd know what I like. I tell men when I do premarital counseling, I just talked to Dale Prochaska that I'm doing a wedding for on Friday, or Saturday, a girl that was one of Heather's volleyball girls when she was coaching the volleyball team in Rochester. Well, she's asked me, and I've done their premarital counseling. And I told him, Dale, what's her favorite color? I got it. What's her favorite flower? I got it. What's her favorite food? She says she really doesn't have one. She likes it all. And I started listing these things, and I said, and what do you need to say to her every morning? Good morning, beautiful. And I'm going through these things because you want to know how to respond. Well, God's going to tell you, you know what? God tells you how you're going to respond to him in heaven. For thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, honor, and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. I know what I'm going to be doing. I'm going to be praising him for his great love, forgiveness, and protection of me. A 33 and a half year old body with no pain, perfect eyesight, no injuries, in a place where there's perfect love. Why is that important to me? You ever get kind of caught up, you get caught with the problems of people you deal with? You know, I tell people all the time when they're hurting, different times, and many times adults have problems with the relationships they have with their parents. I'm not talking just young adults. And I have to look at them and say, well, I know it wasn't good, but they love you in the only way they knew how. They didn't know better. They didn't learn better. They didn't really know the Lord. Well, perfect love casteth out because feareth torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. To be in a place where it's perfect love just excites me. It excites me. And we're going to be looking at it this morning. And John closes the book of Revelation with the best news, a new heaven, a new earth. He gives a final invitation. Look at Revelation, because we're going to be in Revelation 21 and 22. But Revelation 22, verse 17, and the Spirit and the bride say what? And let him that heareth say what? And let him that is athirst what? And whosoever will, let him take of the water of the life freely. God says, come. The open invitation. I've read Sam Gipp's latest essay when his prayer letter comes out, and it's on about the second coming in the rapture and being prepared. And he goes, even though I believe he could come this year and I'm looking forward to him, when he first got saved 55 years ago, one of the first things he learned was about the rapture and the second coming. And when he got saved, and he was in Canton Baptist Temple, that's the first church he was going to, and he was there, and he heard about the second coming, and he knew God very quickly was calling him to go to Bible college so he could become a preacher. But he thought the Lord was coming back so fast, he almost didn't go to Bible school because he needed to get out and win souls and try to bring people to Jesus Christ because the Lord was coming back. 55 years later, you know what he knows? The Lord is coming back. His youth pastor said, if God called you to go to Bible college and then prepare for the ministry, you better be where God's called you. Amen? You ought to be doing what God's called you to do. Because there's going to come a day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ. As we look at this, Revelation, like I said, that for that invitation, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. You know what it is? We're inviting them because who's the bride? You and me. If you're saved, the bride of Christ. And him that heareth, let him that heareth say, come. Someone else who hears about it should be inviting someone else to what? Come. Are you inviting people to heaven? I want to tell you about a place that's so beautiful that you will not hurt anymore. And I don't care what's happened in your life. I don't care what's happened in your family. I don't care what's happened from other people. There's a God in heaven that loves you and wants you to be with him. And he says, come. That's what that's about. If you get excited about some place you're going to go or some place that you've seen, don't you normally talk about it? You know what God wants us to do? On some, have compassion, making a difference. Tell them to come. My sister got saved because my daughter went to her and said, Aunt Libby, I know I'm going to heaven when I die, and I don't know that about you, and I don't want to go to heaven and not see you there. Will you please listen? And she ended up leading her to the Lord. Now, she'd heard the message from me. She's heard me preach before. She's heard me do funerals, and I always give an invitation in a funeral. But it finally clicked. And now my sister's become one of the sweetest people you want to talk to. Never had it before she got saved, but now when you talk to her on the phone, she says, before we hang up, we need to pray. Do you know what that means to me? This is about the blessings and the promise of God. There is a hell to shun, but there's a heaven to gain. Amen? The new heaven. The new heaven and the earth, it won't be made until after the millennium. New heaven isn't there during the millennial reign of Christ. Okay? This is after the great white throne judgment, when you get to see Revelation 21 and 22. Until then, when a Christian dies, he immediately goes to heaven to be present with the Lord. It says to be absent from the body is to be what? Look at Paul's attitude in Philippians chapter 1. We're coming back. Keep your finger in Revelation 21 and 22, but we're going to turn some different scripture verses. The Apostle Paul, says this, verse 19. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my what? What's the blessed hope? It's a glorious appearing of Jesus Christ. And that in nothing shall I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be what? Here is someone who persecuted the church, ascended and brought about the stoning of Stephen and other martyrs, Christians. And when he got saved, he's talking about his hope and having boldness that Jesus Christ will be magnified in whose body? His. Because he says in verse 21, for me to live is what? And to die is gain. Isn't that amazing? Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 1, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the what? Look at verse 8 of the same chapter. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be what? Absent from the body and present with the Lord. I don't know about you, but I got a list of questions I want to ask God about. And God, I don't understand this. What about, and God, what about, and I want to ask him, but the thing is, I already know we have the mind of Christ, and when I get to heaven, I probably won't have to ask the questions because I'm going to see him face to face. It's no longer faith in heaven. Do you realize that? Because faith is the substance of things, what? The evidence of things. You looking forward to that? We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be what? Paul's saying he'd rather be absent. Because you know what happened? Paul got to see heaven. Right? The abundance of the revelations. He's, I know a man in the body, out of the body, I cannot tell. He was in the third heaven. He got to be before the throne of God. He got to see God the Father, Jesus Christ, and the heavenly host all in their glory. And they believe that happened when he was stoned and left for dead. And he came out of that. He got that revelation and he said, that of that man I will glory, but not of myself. For the abundance of revelations, there was given to me what? A thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me. For which I besought the Lord thrice that he might, what? That it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. I'd rather glory in my infirmities, for when I am weak, than I am. The horse is prepared for the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. This horse is wearing out. Amen? But my safety is of God, and I've got a new one coming. And no, with me, it won't be My Little Pony. I want you to know that. Okay? If you don't get that reference, you never raised a girl. Paul got a glimpse of it. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Just a glimpse of it. I mentioned this to you. This is the passage I'm referring to. Start at verse 2. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell or whether out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth, such a one caught up to the third heaven. Paradise is in the third heaven at Jesus' ascension. Okay, so that's the third heaven. Let me see. I got a cross reference here, I think, what Paul saw. Let me see here. Ephesians 4:8 says, wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now that he ascended, what is it that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that has descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. See, the Lord is telling us through Paul, he's seen this. Okay, he got a glimpse of it. He desired to go back. Philippians chapter 1. Again, we read verse 21. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Verse 22, but if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what shall I choose, I wot not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having desire to what? To depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. You know, heaven works that way. Do you know that I'm not a Calvinist because God doesn't give an edict or a command and it's never can be changed? Pastor Ken and I had conversation talking about a message that he listened to for a friend, that the friend had preached, and it talked about how God changes things according to our response. You know what I'm saying to you? According to our response. How that when you refuse to do what God says, God will get his final will accomplished, but maybe not through you. The idea that God can change his mind, now he has the eternal picture and he knows the end from the beginning of it, but in the outworking of it, it appears like he changes his mind on things. Didn't it say God repenteth that he made man? Repentance starts as a change of mind. Well, see, you have this here. And he says, nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. I've told you the story about Mary and Teach Out. He wasn't ready to let Sally go and find out she truly accepted Christ as her Savior, but Marion hadn't at that time thought he had. No, but he wasn't confident of that. And he says, she's dying. I can't do anything about it. She's in a coma. She's not coming out. But I'm not ready to let her go. And I told you, I prayed over her at 1:30 in the morning at the intensive care unit of Lee Memorial Hospital, which is no more, and left. And I get the phone call the next day. Sally wants to see you. She wasn't no longer in intensive care. The doctors had said she wouldn't make it through the night. But he's in his late 70s. He's so tired. He said, I'll go home. They're going to call me when she passes. But Brian, I can't let her go. I'm not ready. If I could just get 3 more years, I think I'd be ready. I asked God for 3 more years. Sally calls me in and says, it's your fault I'm here. I'm serious. She said it with some other words. Now, she was a holy roller in her background. She was a holy roller with a navy mouth, I'm telling you. And she used the word, and she goes, it's your blankety-blank fault I'm here. I was above my body, going to heaven, looking in the face of my Savior, and you knelt down next to my bed, and I looked down and saw you, and you started praying, and you asked God for 3 more years because Marion wasn't ready, and Jesus looked at me and said, you got to go back. But I'd seen it, and I don't want to come back, and it's your fault I'm here. So I blame you, cut my Salisbury steak. She was out of intensive care. She's on the floor and she's eating. You know how long she lived? 3 more years. You know what God did? He changed his mind. And she saw heaven and did not want to come back. Isn't that amazing? For I am a strait betwixt two, having desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. Do you ever realize after Paul got saved, he went around putting himself in circumstances where someone was trying to kill him? See, when you're ready to die, you're ready to live. He got a glimpse and he wanted to go back. The throne of God is in heaven with Jesus seated at the right hand. The redeemed are worshiping and praising him right now. Sam Gipp has a message. He talks about how it is what it talks about there, about the 420 elders throwing crowns before him. And he figures, we supply the crowns. So we earn a crown. It's to give God glory. It's not for us to walk in heaven. I go, oh, Lareth, you only have 6 crowns, but I have 7. That's not what it's about. The crowns aren't about you. It's about God's glory. And Sam turns around and he goes, you ever watch those guys when they're shooting at the 3-point contest and all the balls are lined up for them to pick up and shoot? And there's a whole rack. And he goes, in my mind, he says, maybe, and Sam's a kook too. And he goes, in my mind, I picture somebody as if every time a crown is taken out, another one's put on the rack. And the 420 elders, they take and each take a crown and they throw it before Jesus and the Father and they start worshiping the Father and the Lamb, and the crowns are piling up, but all of a sudden, the pile's not there, they're over here. So they're continually taking crowns, throwing them at the feet of Jesus, and praising him. That's what John saw in heaven. Praising God. Well, that'd be boring if all I got to do was throw crowns all day. Not when you understood what they represented and who you were throwing them before. They're worshiping him now. New Jerusalem is a real city, and it will be the home of every born-again believer. Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. And there's a comparison between Agar, for this Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is what? Free, which is the what? Mother of us all. Stand fast in a liberty wherewith Christ hath made you free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. The home of every believer. Every believer makes it, who makes up the body of Christ, which is also called the bride of Christ. We're not Baptist briders who teach only Baptists who can trace their lineage back to John the Baptist are part of the bride. There's dumb Baptists who teach that. Okay? So if I'll pick on Baptists as much as they do on anybody else when their doctrine doesn't follow what God's word says, and they're trying to make themselves more exclusive so they think that they got more crowns than someone else. We make up the body of Christ. We are the bride of Christ. It's only fitting that New Jerusalem takes on the character of a bride adorned for her bridegroom. That special day. And the bridegroom walks in stands and waits. And then the bride comes to him. Where is his eyes supposed to be? Looking for her. Where is her heart supposed to be? Ready to give herself completely and fully and entirely to the one who is there ready to take her as his own. I love that picture. I've done a lot more funerals than weddings. I'd rather do the weddings. Rather help someone figure out a little bit more how to get along with the person they're marrying to, getting married to. Help them work out their differences some. Have an understanding better of their expectations of that a woman goes, I can't believe a man thinks that way. Yeah, we do. I have fun. I come by Pastor Kenny's office and Bree's in there and Todd's on the computer screen and they're doing long distance. Is that through Skype or is that Zoom or is that Google Meet or what is it? It's FaceTime, premarital counseling. And he hits certain point that I hear, and the next thing you know, she's laughing and he's laughing, and I know she's going, ah, he thinks that way. I get to heaven. I'm going to know how my Savior truly thinks. I'll have a better understanding of what he was willing to give. Jesus spoke of this place. Turn to John chapter 14. Let not your heart be what? You believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are what? I've got a mansion just over the hilltop. Can you imagine the New Bible Translation songs? I've got a room just over the shoreline. I have to share a house with people I don't know. I don't know about you, but I want a mansion. Okay? And I know who's going to decorate it for me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I go to what? To make it look just what he wants for his bride. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, ye may be also. New Jerusalem comes down out of heaven. It doesn't come down and sit on the new earth. Maybe a point. How many of you remember back? Some of you were too young, you weren't in the class, but Jim Ritchie did a whole series of messages on the New Jerusalem in the Sunday school hour. Gave a description of what it's like, the city four square. It shines bright with God's glory. Revelation, let's go back there, Revelation 21. In verse 9, and there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, and I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. And he goes on and describes that city. Okay? Look at verse 18, the same chapter. And the building of the wall was of jasper, and the city was what? Pure gold, like unto clear glass. The city was equal on each side. Look at verse 16. And the city lieth what? An old hymn about the city foursquare. And the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with a reed 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth of each, the height of it are equal. 12,000 furlongs, that's approximately 15,000 miles square when you get the measurements. It could be a square, or it could be a pyramid shape, or it could be the pyramid or the square turned so you see the like a triangle, the pyramid down at you and the pyramid above, and the point not quite coming to touch the earth. Do you realize that when you look at that thing, it could be approximately 2/3 the size of the United States of America? Okay. Back in verse 12, Revelation 21. And had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, the names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. They keep trying to wipe out Israel, but they're God's chosen people. And on the east three gates, and on the north three gates, and on the south three gates, and on the west three gates. That's a total of 12 gates. Three for, okay, each side, one, each one representing one of the tribes. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city, and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof, and the city lieth foursquare, and the length as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with a reed, 12,000 furlongs, and the length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. And he measured the wall thereof, 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is of an angel. Okay? A cubit is approximately 18 inches. Okay, so how high is that wall? And the building of the wall was as jasper. Okay, that's about 216 feet. All right? And the building of the wall was as jasper, and the city was pure gold, unlike unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. And the first foundation was jasper, and the second sapphire, and the third chalcedony. And the fourth, I had to practice, learn to say that. I want you to know that. The fourth, an emerald. The fifth, sardonyx. The sixth, sardis. The seventh, chrysolite. The eighth, beryl. The ninth, topaz. And the tenth, chrysophis. And the 11th, jacinth. And the 12th, amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls, and every several gate was of one pearl. And the city, the street of the city was what? As it were, transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple thereof. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it. And the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. And there shall no wise enter anything that defileth, or whatsoever worketh abomination, or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. I look at that. You know, those gates? Amazing. 12 pearls. They're never shut. See, because at night, in Bible times, they'd shut the gates to protect the city from attack. Because if the enemy wanted to attack you without you knowing, he'd do it under the cover of. And God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. I keep seeing things popping up on YouTube more and more, and you know, I try to believe it. I look, and it doesn't say it's AI generated, and they're doing the interviews. Do you know there's more and more and more and more and more and more Muslims that are coming to Jesus Christ is individuals. It's costing them their families. But their works religion that makes them feel dark, all of a sudden they come to and he says, and Jesus appears to them in their dreams. We're Gentiles, okay? Dreams and visions aren't as big a thing. Sometimes you can have them, okay? But that's something that happened naturally for the Jews. Do you realize that? The Arabs are the half-breed brothers of the Jews. And that these testimonies keep saying Jesus appears unto them and then tells them the truth. And he said, and I no longer live in darkness, I now live in light. Live in light. 216 feet tall, surrounding a city with 12 gates of pearl. The gates will not be shut because there's no night there. The street is pure gold. There's no need for the sun and the moon because God will keep it in the light. Because the Lamb is the light thereof. There's going to be a river. Are we ready? Revelation 22:1. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, on either side of the river, there was what? There the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month, and that leaves of the tree for the healing of the nations. The tree of life. Where did we originally hear about the tree of life? Genesis. It was available to Adam and Eve. They could eat of it and they would not have died. The tree of life is in paradise in heaven today. The New Jerusalem. We're going to have it better than what Adam and Eve had. Because God only walked with Adam in the cool of the evening in fellowship with him. We're going to be in his divine presence for how long? Ever. That river brings the water of life. The tree of life will provide healing to the nations. The Christian will need no healing because we're going to have a body like unto his. You will not have blood keeping you alive and killing you at the same time. Amen, Buster? You're going to have flesh and bones like Jesus' body. No blood. Our resurrected body will be perfect and complete. I have stainless steel. They now gone to titanium in my left knee. Part of it was drilled up and put into the top bone above the knee to make the tuning fork type of shape of the, kind of like my fingers here, bends over in the bottom. They drilled in and they put it's a stainless steel bottom piece that's driven into the bone. They drill the bone and they put glue in there and they drive it in with a hammer and they turn it before the glue hardens because they got to get the lineup just right. You know how I know that's important? Nancy's husband, Larry, the first one, they didn't line up right. He had to have it done again. Okay? And it sits there like this and rocks back and forth in that. Do you know, if I die before the rapture, it won't happen. But if the rapture comes, that stainless steel, which now they use titanium, is not going up with me. It's going to fall and probably kill some God-forsaken Gentile who rejected Jesus Christ when I'm going up. Because I get a new body. Flesh and bones, perfect. Pastor Kinney, it says he has his you can tear your meniscus, you know, the cartilage in your knee, and then you can shred it. And he didn't just tear it. The term is macerated. That's like picking up a ball of spaghetti pieces. That's what he did to his cartilage, his knee. Well, guess what he won't have a problem with? Okay. John, your back will be straight. You realize that? It'll be strong. You won't forget people's names. We're getting old when you have that many people laugh about that joke, okay? Perfect body, healing will be for those who come out of the millennium. There's people who come through the millennium and go off into eternity. Do I have an understanding of that? No. But I see it here. Why would they need healing if they were all just like us? There's people born, okay? They live 1,000 years and they're still a child. Man, you know how much I could learn if I got to live 1,000 years? Their bodies, they come through, they're born, will be flesh and blood, and they'll need the tree of life. It's back like Adam and Eve in the garden. There'll be no more curse, right? Look at verse 3 of Revelation 22. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. All the bad and the evil will be gone. They won't be allowed there. And God shall wipe away their tears from the eyes, verse 4 of chapter 21. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall be any more pain, for the former things are what? Passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. All the evil is going to be gone. The bad and evil will be gone. We're going to serve him and see his face and reign forever. 22 and verse 5, And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign for how long? Ever and ever. That's the new heaven. New heaven. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And then there's a new earth. Teaches the present earth that we see now is going to be passed away in order to have the new. It's like a phoenix rising out of the ashes, amen? First earth was taken with a flood. The second earth will be changed by fire. Look at Matthew 24. Look at verse 35. Heaven and earth shall what? But my word shall not pass away. It tells us heaven and earth will pass away in Matthew 24, in Mark 13, and Luke 21. Because the old creation was made for the first Adam. The new creation is made for the last Adam. It's a new creation and new creatures. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a... Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. For behold, I create a new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come to mind. That's Isaiah 65 and verse 17. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 3. We're coming down to the end here. 2 Peter chapter 3. Verse 7, but the heavens and the earth which are now by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto what? Against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. So what are we looking for? A new heavens and a new earth. God promised Abraham a land forever and David a throne forever. For the sake of time, we won't turn there. Genesis 13:15, he promised Abraham the land. He promised David he's going to sit on his throne forever. 2 Samuel 7, verses 16. Daniel prophesied of a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. Daniel chapter 2 and verse 44. A kingdom that shall never be what? The kingdoms of this earth rise and fall, don't they? The new earth will see total fulfillment of these prophecies as heaven comes down to this earth. There will be two big judgments on the earth. The first time God judged the earth, there were two big judgments, I should say, judged the earth with a flood. And then they make a note in our notes here, and it says the flood caused climate change. You want to believe in climate change? There's climate change. Okay? And the second time, he will judge it with fire. You know what that is? Global warming. Christians shouldn't put any stock in a dying world because it's actually groaning in travail. Romans 8, 22, and that's where we're going to finish with the last verse. Romans 8 in verse 22 says, for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. It's all going to vanish away, and we are to be living with anticipation and desire for that new world, the new heavens and the new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. You know what God's people said? Take a break.